So, in our last episode, we talked about why retirement planning shouldn't revolve around a magic formula, such as the 60/40 portfolio, right? And instead, you said that every dollar in retirement should have a job to do. Well, today, we're talking about one of the most debated retirement tools out there, fixed indexed annuities. As you know, some people swear by them, some people swear at them. So, what I want to know, and I want you to tell our listeners, what is the real story?
That is what we're going to talk about. I mean, neither extreme is usually right, because the people who say that that they're going to be screaming at them, that's and they usually aren't familiar with what fixed index annuities actually are. It's really just another retirement planning tool, and like every tool, it's got its strengths, it has its trade-offs. And so today, what we're going to do over the next several minutes is explain what a fixed indexed annuity actually is and what it isn't, what it does well and what it doesn't do, and why, some retirees more and more these days seem to be making it a part of their retirement income strategy.
Welcome to Take Pride in Retirement, the podcast dedicated to helping members of the LGBTQ plus community protect and grow their hard-earned money. Get set for a show full of education and insights with your host and advisor, Matt McClure. We recognize every family is unique. The goal of the show is to help you achieve financial freedom so you and your loved ones can have the retirement you've always dreamed of. A retirement you can take pride in, no matter who you are, where you're from, or who you love. So now let's start the show. Here's Matt McClure.
Well, hello there. Fancy meeting you here. Welcome to another edition of Take Pride in Retirement. Matt McClure here with you, your host, your advisor, your friend, your pal, and your confidant.
And I am Josh Retnoble, the attaché to the advisor, aka co-host, aka Matt's husband.
Didn't get a husband on that one, but you know.
It's a husby today. It's like a hubby and a husband goodbye.
Husby. Love it. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Without you, we don't have a show. I know I say it all the time, but I really, truly, truly mean it. So thank you. Thank you. Whether you're watching on YouTube, and if you are, please like and subscribe.
Subscribe, please.
There we go. Little button with the please. We'll be nice about it. We'll say, please subscribe, like this video. Really, both of those things, super easy to do. Sign up for notifications. That really helps with the algorithm as well. And just help spread the word about people out there who need to hear this. I didn't say advice because it's not personalized advice, but it's this information that could be potentially life-changing when it comes to planning for your retirement, no matter who you are. No matter who you are, where you come from, who you love, how you identify, or how much money you have, any of the things, you deserve a retirement you can take pride in. That's the goal of every show that we do. TakePrideInRetirement.com is the place. You can go there. You can learn more about me and the show and all the things. And you can also sign up for a free consultation. And when I say free, I mean free. More on that in a few minutes. But so Josh, as you were saying in our last episode, we talked about giving every dollar in your retirement portfolio a job to do, right? Having that job description for each and every dollar that is hopefully working for you and working toward the same goal, rather than focusing on percentages, right? Like that 60/40 portfolio or whatever, that magical number. It's sinfully delicious. There's a deep cut for you. So today we're actually taking that conversation one step further. It's like, what do you do when it comes to maybe replacing the bonds in your portfolio, perhaps? Or if every investment does have a job to do, where, if anywhere, does a fixed index annuity fit in to that whole sort of picture? Like, what job does it do in particular? So let's get into it. And talk about all of those things.
Yeah, well, let's start with the basics. So I think a lot of people hear the word indexed and they immediately assume it's basically another stock market investment. But is that actually how it works or no?
No, not exactly, because there's another word that's in there as well, fixed, right? The fixed part means that there are certain guarantees, and the indexed part means that, yes, it is tied to a market index. A fixed indexed annuity, FIA, as it's called in the biz, know all the terms going in, is an insurance contract. essentially, is with an insurance company. It's not a mutual fund. It's not an ETF. It's not individual stocks or anything like that. Your money is not directly invested in the stock market. But the insurance company instead uses the performance of a market index. A lot of the times it's like the S&P 500 or maybe the Dow or the NASDAQ or something like that, Russell 2000, something that you probably heard of. But many times it's not. It could be like some sort of proprietary index with a name that you're not necessarily as familiar with. But let's say it's the S&P 500 for sake of argument here. And so it's tied to that market index on the upside. So it's part of a formula that they use to calculate how much interest can be credited to your account. That's how they calculate it. A certain percentage of that growth is what you'll get. So there are some important differences here with something that is like a fixed indexed annuity or is a fixed indexed annuity and a market-based asset, right? You don't actually own any stocks when you have a fixed indexed annuity. You might elsewhere, but inside the FIA, you do not, okay? You don't receive dividends. So if it's tied to something that might pay out dividends to those who are investors in a particular fund or index or whatever, you don't receive those dividends, right? It's just the growth is what we're looking at as part of that formula to calculate how much growth is credited to your contract. And your returns are limited by things like participation rates, which can be good and bad, caps or spreads. Those are terms that you don't necessarily need to get into the weeds of going into what each of them mean for purposes of this conversation. But let's just say it's tied to the market on the upside, right? And so the growth is credited based on the particular performance of a stock index like the S&P 500, but those participation rates or caps or spreads, that is the thing that you need to kind of look at as far as the fine print. And we can kind of go more into that a little bit later on, some of the trade-offs there. But that really is kind of the main one. Your growth is limited in exchange for the principal, the money that you put in the beginning, being protected, right? So in exchange from the direct market protection against direct market losses, I should say, you give up some of the upside that you might receive elsewhere, but you have that guarantee that you can never lose money based on market performance.
Yeah. So people, they shouldn't think of this as all the gains of the stock market without any of the risk.
Right. Right. I mean, it's like you can take part in the gains of the stock market, but you do get rid of that market risk because, you know, if the market goes down, you don't lose money as a result of that. You got that downside protection. But generally speaking, you also have upside limits. Now, I have seen, and we do work with some companies that offer participation rates of like 300 and some odd percent these days, where if a particular market index goes up, say, 10% over a period of time, you're actually credited with 30% because you have a 300% participation rate. That's what that means. You just basically multiply the growth times three, and that's what you would see growth-wise in that particular fixed indexed annuity. Those are kind of a little bit few and far between, but they do exist. But the biggest misconception that I hear is that, yeah, you're exchanging some of the growth potential, or you're exchanging all of the, or getting rid of, I should say, all of the downside, and then you take part in all of the upside. No, wouldn't it be nice if you could do that? But you're actually exchanging some of the growth potential for primarily that principal protection, that benefit from, protecting yourself from direct market losses, in other words. And so that's not automatically good or bad for any particular individual. It just depends on what you are trying to accomplish. Again, it's telling those dollars what to do. It's giving them that job description. And if a chunk of your change, if that sounds like something that, you know, if you've got that upside potential with the downside protection, if that sounds like something that's good for you in your particular situation, I would definitely tell you that as someone who acts in a fiduciary capacity.
Yeah. And what I always say is Matt is the advisor that cares. He's not going to send you down the wrong path. He's going to help you and make sure that whatever you're doing for you fits what your needs are, not everyone else's.
Exactly. That's my goal all the time.
And so with that, Matt, if someone is giving up some upside, why would they choose one?
Well, it's because retirement changes the game a bit. It changes sort of the definition of success. If you are like 35 and you're just starting out investing, your goal probably is to just grow your investments. You'll want some safety as well. Like I have a client who's now, I believe 32, as my, not my youngest client anymore, but was one of my youngest clients for a long time. And so we've got, you know, him in, a long-term growth fixed indexed annuity that's got a lot of upside potential over a long period of time, but it makes up a tiny, tiny percentage of his overall investments. You know, he's got his 401k at work and he's got an IRA and a Roth with me that he's making regular contributions to. And so that is, you know, a mix that works for someone who is that age. But by retirement, people have different priorities. They're asking questions like, am I going to outlive my money? Is my money actually going to last the rest of my life? How much income can I actually count on each month? You know, Social Security is only going to replace a certain percentage of my income that I had when I was working. So what is going to make up the rest of that difference? Or am I going to have a lifestyle change, right? You know, can I protect the money that I've spent decades saving? And, you know, one of the features that a lot of retirees really appreciate is that principal protection that I've been talking about. You know, if the index has a negative year or a negative whatever period that is credited, that your account is credited. Well, sometimes it's 1 year, sometimes it's 2 years, sometimes it can be 3, 4, or 5 years. They'll take the market performance over that period of time and multiply that by whatever your participation rate is or cap it at a certain percentage point, whatever, however the contract works. But they'll take that amount of growth and that's how they use to calculate the credit that goes into your account. But if the market has a negative year or whatever period of time, the account generally isn't credited with a market loss because of that decline. It does not go down, in other words. It can only go up. So if you see like a market index chart, you know, like a line graph of the market performance over the years, it looks kind of like an EKG, right? Like up and down and up and down and up and down. But if you look at the performance of something like a fixed indexed annuity that doesn't have that downside, only really that upside potential, it's more like stair steps, right? And so, and sometimes, you know, you could even over time, over a period of time, if the markets do get really rocky, you could match the growth that is in a market index. It just depends. It just depends on the performance of the market index. But the trade-off there is you're getting that guarantee. You're getting the guarantee of principal protection. And that doesn't mean, though, that you're going to earn a bunch of interest every year. Some of those years, if the markets are down, you're going to have zero interest credited, but you still don't go down. So, you know, it's you're generally not seeing your account decline because the market goes down. You're just, everybody else may be losing their shirt, but you've still got the shirt on your back because you didn't lose any money in the market that year.
Yeah. And another thing people hear a lot is that annuities can provide lifetime income. So how does that work?
Yeah. I mean, that's another reason that a lot of pre-retirees and retirees really consider FIAs, right? Fixed indexed annuities, because traditional pensions from the workplace have gone the way of the dinosaur, really. Just a small percentage of private employers still offer, I think it's something like 17%, somewhere in that neighborhood, it's in the teens, the last numbers that I saw, offer of employers offer those types of you know, retirement benefits. Most of the time now, it's a defined contribution plan, which is the contribution is the thing that is defined. That is your 401k or your TSP if you're a federal employee, your 403b if you you know, work for a school system, something like that. Those are the ways that the retirement plans generally work these days. Is the thing that is defined is the contribution. You are making contributions into it. Used to be a defined benefit plan or a pension, as it's otherwise known. So, you know, that's the thing that is defined is the benefit. You are going to receive a pension, which is a payout for life in retirement for the rest of your life. And so a lot of those have just gone the way of the dinosaur. And so fixed indexed annuities offer, you know, optional lifetime income riders, a lot of them, the majority, I would say, to provide guaranteed income for as long as you live, depending on the terms of the contract. Now, you know, a lot of those will just guarantee it for the rest of your life, and any money that's left in the contract would be payable as a death benefit to your spouse or whatever, whoever you name as your beneficiary. And so, you know, for a lot of retirees, the goal isn't to guarantee every dollar they're ever going to spend, but the goal is to make sure that they've got the necessities covered. So they've got that paycheck, they replace that paycheck, right? So the lights are on, the roof is over your head, you've got groceries, you're paying for medicine, you're paying for your insurance, all of those things, right? So that is, you want to have that paycheck that is replaced by your whatever income source in retirement. But you also want to have those play checks as well. You know, you want to be able to do the things that you want to do, especially earlier on in retirement while you can still get around, for gosh sake. So if those basic expenses are covered by reliable income sources like Social Security, pensions, guaranteed lifetime income from something like an FIA, then the rest of your portfolio can be that play check, rather. That's often maybe it can stay invested for long-term growth, but then, you know, if you want to go to Bora Bora for a month, you've got the money to do that elsewhere, potentially. It all depends on what works best for you. And, you know, that is, I think, the beauty of actual diversification in your retirement and having a plan, just basically having a plan to begin with.
Yeah, it sounds like you're basically creating your own pension.
Yeah, I mean, you really are. It's basically like you're taking what your employer has allowed, that 401k or 403b, whatever it might be, and you're turning it into a pension yourself. Like you're saying, ha, you thought you were taking a pension away from me, Mr. Employer in the C-suite somewhere. But you're not. I'm now creating my own pension with this money that I've saved and invested over the years. And that's especially meaningful, I think, for LGBTQ plus retirees, because not everybody has, you know, adult children nearby or a big traditional family support system. You know, having that dependable income that arrives every single month in a pension-like product or a self-funded pension like an FIA, it can really provide a big sense of independence and security, financial confidence as well, regardless of who may or may not be available to help you later on in life. You know, you've at least got the funds there that are available to make those ends meet and then also, you know, cover beyond what your essential expenses might be.
Yeah. And I will say this. I always kid around about whispering the word annuities. Because whenever annuities do come up online, the comments get pretty heated from a lot of different people. So why do you think that is?
Well, there's been a lot of talk over the years about whether annuities are good or bad. And a lot of people who believe that annuities are bad, and there are some annuities that, you know, I would recommend to a lot of people, and there are certain annuities I wouldn't recommend to my worst enemy. But it all depends really on your individual situation, and whether an annuity is good or bad is not really the question here. But those people who think that an annuity is bad, generally a couple of things are true. Either one, they don't really understand what annuities are like today. They're thinking about annuities from many, many years ago, or they're thinking about something like a variable annuity where you actually are invested in the market and you've got that downside that's there as well, or something maybe like just a general like fixed annuity where, you know, you've got a certain interest rate that gets credited to that account. Maybe it keeps up with inflation, maybe it doesn't, but there are better places potentially for your money. But people tend to take that and say, just apply it across the board to all annuities. And so it's looking at it as a good versus bad, a very black and white thing, is not helpful. That's like not the question that you should be asking. A better question to ask is, what are annuities good for? And so every retirement strategy involves some trade-offs, like with an annuity, for example. You may have that principal protection that we've been talking about. So the money that you initially put in, you know that that is safe, right? But you also give up some liquidity and some growth potential. You may gain that guaranteed lifetime income, but you may, on the other hand, give up that liquidity piece as well. And so that's why you know, this is not for, like, anything that would go into a fixed indexed annuity is not money that you want to be completely liquid. Like, if you had, like, you know, $100,000 going into an annuity, for example, you could, in the first year, perhaps in year one of the contract, get access to, as an example, 10% of that penalty free. So say $10,000, but the other $90,000, if you wanted to access that, you would have to pay a penalty for that. It's not 100% liquid, not until a certain amount of years pass. So you got to have that emergency fund, the savings and all the things. So yeah, there are limits here. But you got to look at what the goal is, and will a fixed indexed annuity contract help you meet your goal, whatever it might be?
Yeah. And what about taxes? Because, I mean, I feel that a lot of people will hear tax deferred, right? And they'll sometimes think that means tax free.
Well, tax deferred, you know, it's funny because when you say tax deferred, that does not mean it is tax free forever. It means it's tax free for now. You have not paid taxes on it yet, but you eventually will have to. It's just like your 401k or your IRA, right? The money going in is not taxed, or like if it's an IRA, maybe it has been taxed, but you'll be taxed on the back end, right? So like if you, example, a Roth IRA, on the other hand, that is something that you pay, you put in post-tax dollars, and then on the back end, you don't have to pay any taxes because there is an allowance for a Roth account that says you've already paid the taxes on the money that you put in, so we're not going to make you pay the taxes again on the money that you take out later on. But with something like a fixed indexed annuity, you can structure it as a Roth, generally speaking. If it's money that's you're rolling over from a Roth, you can roll it into a like account, and that would be a Roth FIA. But if it's something that you put your money from your 401k or IRA, whatever, those are treated as you have never paid the taxes on that before. So Uncle Sam's going to come calling later on when you start making those withdrawals. And if it's qualified, so if the annuity is qualified, so that's a tax qualification, it sounds kind of wonky, but if it's a qualified account, qualified annuity, that means it is tax deferred, right? And so you're going to have to pay the taxes later on. Or non-qualified, meaning you money that you put in, you've already paid the taxes on, so you won't have to pay the taxes again on that principal amount, that initial amount that you put in, but any growth that you experience, you will have to pay taxes on that later on. So yeah, taxes, they're one factor to consider. They can be kind of a little bit, I don't know, confusing sometimes, but you know, I can walk you through that when you call or go to the website, takeprideinretirement.com for a free consultation.
Yeah. And so what if somebody already owns an annuity? Should they always be looking for something newer or better?
Well, I wouldn't say not necessarily. It's not kind of like shopping for a car or something. You know, I think my dad was always so guilty of that, like just driving through car lots and looking at new cars. And he would actually look at used cars a lot more than he would new, just because their deals were better, generally speaking. But he was always looking at cars that were new to him anyway. And so I don't think sometimes replacing an annuity might make perfect sense for a particular individual. Sometimes it absolutely doesn't. As a matter of fact, I had a meeting with a client just yesterday, and I had gone into it thinking, oh, there's a kind of a newer product that's out there that it would make 100% sense to this client for their situation to replace the annuity that they have with something else that's got a bigger bonus and all that. But we ran the math. A colleague of mine and I ran the math, and it just didn't actually end up making sense for them. And so, you know, it just depends on your individual situation. A newer contract could offer better features, especially if you have an old annuity, like something that's years and years and years old. But if it's something that's relatively new, let's hang on to it for a couple of years and see what the growth is, see what the benefits are and the trade-offs are, and weigh that in the balance. A newer contract, like I said, could offer the better benefits, but it could also restart a surrender period, right? So let's say if you are out of a surrender period on one contract, meaning that money is now completely liquid, on the other contract, on the new one, you restart a surrender period. So now if you need liquidity, you only have access to a small percentage, penalty free. And so there's a lot that goes into it. You got to look at the guarantees, the income benefits, those surrender schedules, any fees, the access to your money that you have. before making any changes. And so it's like, you know, don't try to go it alone, in other words, with this, because there's a lot to take into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like the theme we've been talking about over these last couple of episodes, is don't chase products, build a plan.
Yeah, the products, again, can be a part of an overall plan, but the products are not the plan. So I always say, like, some people will be like, oh, I've got a 401k, that means I've got a retirement plan, right? And I'm like, well, you got a retirement account, but that's not your plan. Like, what is your plan? You got to take that money and eventually turn it into income that you can't outlive in retirement. So the best retirement plans are not built around the specific kinds of investments, specific kinds of accounts. They're built around people. And that's my favorite part of what I do, right? Is really personalizing. Like, what are your goals? What are you trying to achieve? Because every tool should have a purpose. You're not going to try and, you know, put a screw in the wall with a hammer. You know, or if you do, good luck to you. You're going to have a big hole in the wall, probably. So every tool has its own purpose that's good for a particular job, and the right combination, the tools that you have in your own individual tool belt, depend on the jobs that need to be done. They depend on your goals, your income needs, your timeline, and your comfort with whatever level of risk that you are taking. So that really is what it comes down to. Having a plan beats whatever product you might have in mind each and every time.
Yeah. And Matt, if you would want one thing for our listeners to walk away today from this podcast, what would it be?
Well, I would say this, you know, you hear, as you say, and you said this earlier to start off the show, a lot of opinions out there about a lot of strong opinions, a lot of times about annuities and about retirement in general. Don't let those strong opinions and the loud voices out there make retirement decisions for you. You need to make retirement decisions for yourself, but you have to understand what an investment actually does. You have to understand what it doesn't do, the problem that it's solving. You also have to understand what trade-offs come with it, because there are trade-offs with everything, right? With every product, every type of investment, all those things. You just have to make sure that you know whether it belongs in your particular retirement plan, no matter what it is. And you've got to make sure that the pieces come together to make that pretty picture so that you can have that retirement you can take pride in. So, you know, maybe you've heard about fixed indexed annuities. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard about them was on this show today. But if you've wondered whether a fixed indexed annuity is right for you, or if you're wondering now, always go to takeprideinretirement.com. Takeprideinretirement.com. I'd be happy to help with a complimentary retirement income review. I can review your entire, you know, portfolio, what you have, what you could have, and what it could look like. I'll do a Social Security analysis for you as well. Be glad to run that for you. It's very comprehensive and it's very free. So go to takeprideinretirement.com, takeprideinretirement.com, or 855-246-9211 and schedule that complimentary consultation. All right. Well, I have flapped my gums enough for today. Mr. Attaché, thank you so much for keeping it between the lines for me. I appreciate it as always.
Of course, it's always a pleasure to be here, Matthew. And I do want to say one thing I forgot to say last episode. If you're watching this on YouTube, look at that glorious new neon sign.
Oh, yes. Isn't it nice?
It's very nice.
Yeah. So, and if you're just
listening, point that out.
If you're just listening to us, you know, it's a thing like this should make you go to YouTube just for the sole purpose of looking at the most recent episode and seeing the neon sign behind me. Yes. So anyway, happy looking at the neon sign. I hope you have a great rest of your week wherever you are. Thank you so much, Mr. Attaché, and thank you for listening and or watching the show. Really do appreciate it as always. And until next time, take pride in yourselves and take care of each other. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Take Pride in Retirement. Members of the LGBTQ+ community deserve to work with a fiduciary financial advisor who puts their needs first. To schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Matt McClure and the team at Active Wealth Management, call 855-246-9211 or go online to takeprideinretirement.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Active Wealth Management Incorporated are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents.
Matt McClure and Active Wealth Management are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest. Please refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A Item 4, for additional information.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not in any way refer to investment advisory products. Rates and guarantees provided by insurance products and annuities are subject to the financial strength of the issuing insurance company, not guaranteed by any bank or the FDIC.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.